Good morning. Welcome back to Voices from the Road. Today, I'm with my friends Hunter and Tiffany. We are in San Francisco this time. I've moved on from Oakland. Hunter, I met you in South Sudan in a refugee camp in a town called Yida, which was on the border between Sudan and South Sudan in 2012. Tiffany, I met you in Iraq in 2014. However, you had also been in Yida before me in 2011 and early 2012. And then, so how did the two of you meet?
Well, first of all, we met working for Nonviolent Peace Force in 2011 in a little town called Mundri. And we were working there between, you know, Mundri, Great Mundri, which is Mvolo, Mundri West, and Mundri East. And this is how we met.
Okay, Tiffany, who were you working with at the time?
We were both working with Nonviolent Peace Force, which is an INGO which focuses on civilian protection, unarmed civilian peacekeeping, and basically mediation of conflict between communities. So we were working in Western Equatoria State in Mundri, working with different community leaders, women's groups, youth groups on conflict resolution.
Okay, and so how did you end up in Yida then?
Well, with the same, we moved to Yida. First of all, Tiffany actually moved to Yida before me. And then I moved there working for the same organization, Nonviolent Peace Force. And yeah, this is how we end up in Yida. And doing kind of the same thing, but there is more like civilian protection, which is like we work for the refugees from Sudan.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And you were working in child protection, right? Isn't that what you were doing when I met you?
Yes. So Nonviolent Peace Force did civilian protection in Yida, and we did both the general protection and the child protection.
Okay. So now for somebody who doesn't know what protection is, maybe Tiffany, can you explain what protection means?
Sure. In terms of protection, when we use it, we talk about protection in the sense of civilian protection and in an unarmed way. So it is about upholding government, host governments upholding international humanitarian law. It's about human rights, and it's about making sure that women, children, youth, and elders, basically anyone who's identified as potentially vulnerable, is being protected by the community and the international community.
And can that include things like helping them to get refugee status or to apply for registration, or is that not it?
Not necessarily. That is a component that Nonviolent Peace Force does not do, but UNHCR does. But when it comes to protection, if you identify someone who should be applying for asylum, for example, we would refer them to the appropriate organization. So there's a lot of referrals going on when it comes to protection.
Okay, great. And yesterday we went to the beach, you and I, Tiffany, and you told me one of the most hilarious stories I've ever heard about your experience in South Sudan. It wasn't in Yida. It was, this story takes place a little bit later in 2013. And you, the two of you, Hunter and Tiffany, had gone to where?
We were in Jonglei State in a tiny, tiny, tiny village called Durain.
Durain. And what happened?
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, we were there, and we eat R&B, which is rice and beans, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And where were you staying?
We were in a little tents.
Tents in?
Yeah, in Durain.
And were you in a camp?
Yeah, it's in a little IDP camp, which is internally displaced people.
Okay.
Yeah. So we try to, like, shift from eating R&B.
Rice and beans.
Rice and beans. And people want like some protein, which is like they want to eat meat.
Uh huh.
So the team, like, you know, they kind of contributed and bought a goat, and people slaughtered a goat, and people, you know, did like barbecue and stuff.
So you had a big feast.
Big dinner, and then we left everything.
You left the goat, the carcass.
Yeah, everything down.
You just got tired.
And then we went to bed.
Went to bed.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, I think that Hunter started it off by knowing what was happening, so maybe he can start off with his experience.
So, Hunter, you're in your tent. Tiffany, yeah. You're in a different tent.
Yeah.
And it's, what, it's midnight?
It's like about 2 a.m. So, okay, so basically after everyone ate, we got in our tents, and Frank and I were sharing a tent. Hunter was in a tent next to us.
And Frank's your husband.
Yes. And it was about 2 a.m. when all of a sudden I hear all this, like, moving around and commotion and, like, that tent shaking. And Hunter's going, ah, ah. And I was so tired and so dead asleep, I just ignored it, kind of.
And I think we laughed about that yesterday, because in South Sudan, you do get used to bugs and things like that. So if there's a mouse in your tent, you can try to ignore it for a half an hour, an hour, until, you know, unless something starts hurting, you don't think it's serious, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, usually we don't really get scared of, you know, stuff like that, because, you know, it's just something that's not going to kill you.
Right.
However, for ants...
Wait, how did you figure out it was ants?
Well, first of all, ants doesn't bite if they just, like, crawl around you, and if you don't, like, move, they mm-hmm. don't bite. So I feel like something was moving on my body.
Uh-huh.
Then I just, like, moved a little bit. I was trying to get it out. And suddenly, there was, like, huge ant, like, a pile of ant, like, right in the roof of my tent, and it just, like, fell off on me.
On the inside of your tent or the outside of your
inside
tent?
Inside of my tent. They already, like...
Inside your tent. A pile of ants.
Yes. And then I just, like, start screaming because they start, like, biting me.
So...
All over my body.
How many ants do you think this was?
Oh, my goodness. Like, hundreds of thousands?
Hundreds of thousands.
Of ants? It's, like... insanely crazy.
And Tiffany, what was going on in your tent?
So Hunter was screaming and freaking out. I was feeling things also kind of crawling over me, but I was just way too tired to care. And then all of a sudden, Frank sits up and screams, ants! And then he unzips the tent. And as he unzips the tent, literally like 10 pounds of ants falls on me, and it's just continuing to fall on me. Giant ants, little ants, medium-sized ants, every single type of ant you could probably imagine. It was like a giant wall of them.
An army of ants.
Yeah. Like 5 inches thick, high.
5 inches thick.
Just covering both of our tents. And so Frank gets up, just runs away, and I'm still laying there. Covered in ants, but I'm still tired and just, like, not really caring. And then Hunter and Frank start stomping on all their ants and smashing them on them because they're starting to bite them. And so that released some type of signal where all of the ants at once all knew that they were somehow under attack. So in 1 second... all of a sudden, every single ant on my body started biting me. So I get up, and I run out of the tent screaming also now, joining them. Hunter and Frank are ripping off all their clothes. I'm like, ah! I rip off all my clothes. There's ants everywhere, like, just like you're stepping on ants, like, 5 inches high. They're just everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So we're just running around. And then all of a sudden... 2 million or 5 billion mosquitoes are like, food!
Because now you've got your clothes, you're exposed.
Yeah.
And then one of the funny things you told me, you looked over and you saw your guard. And what was his reaction?
So there were two of them, and they were sitting back maybe like 40 feet away from us. And they were definitely not in an area where there were any ants. And they were just like, ha, kawajas.
And what does Kawajas mean?
Kawajas, just referring to people from Western world.
Foreigners.
Like, yeah, foreigners. So they said, oh, these Kawajas are just, like, crazy. And they're just sitting there. And the ants were not, like, in the place where they were. And they couldn't help because...
They would get attacked by ants, too.
So they don't want to come there and they're just, like, sitting back. And
you told me, what was the solution? They knew that to avoid the ants, what would you have needed to do?
So to avoid the ants, you have to spray the ashes.
Ash, yeah, from a fire.
From a fire. You have to, like, put around your tent so that they will not, like, for some reason, they can't get over it because I don't know
they feel. They don't like it.
Yeah, they don't like it. So if you spray ashram, then that would help protect you.
And I guess putting the remains of the goat feast might have also helped.
Might have helped.
Well, thank you too so much for sharing your story with me. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you make many more wonderful stories together. Thanks so much.
Yeah. You're welcome.